I want to share with you some selected verses from the Gospel of Matthew. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 6, and then verses 16 through 21. Hear now God's Word. And Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before men in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give alms, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by men. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Verse 16, "And when you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Please be seated. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now on Ash Wednesday, we do confront our mortality and we confess our sin before God. And we do it here, right here, because the church is where we come to know God's forgiveness and God's eternal hope. We are not creator. We are imperfect, dependent creatures. But we are creatures loved by God. Not loved because of what we are, but loved in spite of the sinners that we are and because of what we can be through Jesus Christ. God is not indulgent. God is forgiving. And there's a difference. God could have looked the other way and defined no loving law nor boundaries and let us loose to worship ourselves and to destroy each other with a desire to stuff the whole world into our mouths. Instead, God came in Jesus Christ. And through Christ, we can have a relationship with God, and we see in Jesus a life lived according to God's will. How different Jesus' life was. How different Christians are called to be. As we respond to God's gift of grace offered in Christ, we are called to live higher and to live holier. In Christ, we are freed to be more than we are. We are freed to love not only ourselves, but our neighbors. And not only our neighbors, but even our enemies. We certainly need God's help to do that. Forgiveness is ours not because we are perfect, but because we are loved. Loved while we were yet sinners. Faith involves turning toward the light and toward the love of God in Christ. Turning is the true definition of repentance. Turning away from self and back toward God. In the same way the prodigal son who was walking away from his father came to himself and turned. That is a moment of repentance. If we put off repentance another day, someone has said, if we put off repentance another day, we have a day more to repent of and one day less to repent in. We all die. A pastor friend of mine wrote, When I was serving a little church in rural Georgia, one of my members' relatives died, and my wife and I went to the funeral. They wheeled the coffin in, and the preacher began to shout and fume and flail his arms.
"It's too late for Joe. He might have wanted to do this or that, but it's too late now. He's dead. He might have wanted to straighten his life out, but he can't now. It's over. Ain't too late for you, so why wait? Now is the day for decision. Now is the time to make your life count for something. Give your life to Jesus."
Now my friend said, "That was the worst thing I've ever heard." He said, "Can you imagine a preacher doing that in front of a grieving family?" And on the way home to his wife, he couldn't get over it. He said, "I have never seen anything so manipulative, so cheap, so inappropriate. I would never preach a sermon like that." And his wife paused a minute, nodded her head and agreed. She said, "Yes, it was tacky. Yes, it was manipulative. Yes, it was coarse." She said, "But the worst part, the very worst part of it all is, it was true. We have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. As Luther said, baptism takes only a few minutes, but it takes a lifetime to finish. Many Christians focus on spiritual discipline during Lent, and we often hear the question, what have you given up during Lent? John Donahue asked instead, how can we give in to God trying to touch our lives? Can we during Lent especially be open to give in to God trying to touch our lives? We mostly have Teflon-coated souls. God does touch us, and God does want to change us, but too often we won't let it stick. I like Frederick Buechner's questions for Lenten discipleship and Lenten discipline. He says this, and please listen to these questions. He said, what last message would you give to a handful of people most dear to you? You know, 25 words or less, write it down. What last message would you give to the 25 people closest to you? He said, if the advice is important for them, live it out yourself. And number two, he said, which thing you have done would you most like to undo? To whatever degree you can, undo it now. Regret is self-indulgent. Regret is just self-indulgence. Repentance means undo if you can. Turn it around if you can. What person or cause would you die for? Live for it now. And if this were the last day of your life, what would you do? Live that way every day. I know it's impossible to live a perfectly Christ-like life, but it is also impossible to be Christian and not try. You have to try. And we fail, every one of us. We only grow with the help of God's Spirit. But even though we fail and even though God knows we sin, we are never too far gone to turn around, to repent, and to be embraced again. God waits with arms open for our return. And such a loving Father deserves praise. Praise Him in your life. Let others see His love and forgiveness in your life. You may appropriately mourn your sins and accept your mortality tonight on this service night, but we can laugh joyfully on Easter Day at the absurdly amazing grace of God in Christ. Amen.